that you stand in respect. I'm reading Matthew 25, 14 through 30. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Hope. We want to thank all of our youth and everyone who's participated in our worship service this morning. We continue our stewardship emphasis this morning. This is our 3rd week. The 1st week, we talked about our position, where we are financially as a church. And then last week, we focused on the Chambly Methodist of the past. And now we are focusing on the Chambly of the future. And we see our children and our youth ministry, because they are our future, but really they're our now too. But they are our future, and we need to provide a place for them to grow in their understanding of God and in their ability to give and to share. This morning, we choose a passage of Scripture that probably everyone knows and has heard many times in their lives. And we went to remember that as we read the Scriptures, the Bible is a record of human experience with God. It's God telling us about God's self. And so when we read Scripture, we say, what is God like in this particular passage? What is it that God is trying to tell us in this particular passage? You know, we have lots of different ideas of who God is. In the Lord's Prayer that we prayed just a few minutes ago, it talks about God being a Father, our Heavenly Father. In another parable, the parable of the prodigal son, the Scripture tells us that God is sort of like a daddy waiting for that runaway boy to come home. And Psalm 23 talks about God being a shepherd, a good shepherd. Well, today, this particular passage of Scripture that Hope read for you just a few minutes ago is another facet of God's character. And it's kind of surprising to most people because, you see, it's sort of like God saying that he is a venture capitalist. He's a businessman wanting to invest his resources for profit. Basically, that's what this story is saying. And in the parable, Jesus explained how life is like a rich man going on a long journey who called together his servants and he gave each of them a sum of money. And if you study the scripture, you find out that a talent is a lot of money. And I've heard differing amounts, so I'm not even going to try to figure out what that is in today's money, but it was a large sum of money to take care of his property. And he gave them the sum of money with the instructions that they were to invest it, to trade with it until he returns. And so in the end, he does indeed come back to settle accounts with these employees. And some were rewarded, and other was punished. So what do we learn about God in this parable? What do we know about who God is for us when we read the parable of the talents? Well, first, we have to understand that God is the landowner in that story. Everything we have belongs to God. Psalm 24:1 puts it very bluntly, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There was a lawyer in Louisiana in years past, and he was asked to do a title search on a piece of land being acquired for a U.S. Army base. And he ran the search back to 1803 and sent the title in. And the base commander was not particularly satisfied with that, and so he asked the lawyer to run the title search back still further. And in complying, the attorney wrote the following. Said parcel of land was purchased in 1803 by the Thomas Jefferson administration from France, the land commonly known as the Louisiana Purchase. The French acquired it by military victory from Spain. Spain acquired it from the Indians by conquest, and the Indians came to own it from God the Creator. I hope this complies with your request. Read the Bible and you'll see all that I have, all that I am, all that I ever will be, comes from God. It is God's now, and it will return to God in the future. This is true of my car. It's true of my house, which I do not own, by the way. It goes for my clothing, my bank account, my own flesh and blood. The Apostle Paul reminds us, for we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of it. So, if everything belongs to God, then it is our job as God's servants to manage that which God gives us. We don't own it, we manage it. The text says that the man divided his property among his servants. He commissioned them to work with his resources. He entrusted them with them until he returned. That's what we call stewardship. That's what we've been talking about all month, is stewardship. Stewardship means that I am out of ownership and into management. It means that life is like a great ship loaded with rich cargo to be delivered to people in many places. And Christ is the owner, but I am the captain of the ship. In Romans 1, the Apostle Paul is clear about his charge from God. He uses three I am statements. He says, I am under obligation. I am eager to preach. I am not ashamed. It is as if God had given Paul a great wealth that he was in turn going to pass on to other people. There was a college graduate who moved to the big city to make his fortune in banking. And he was driving a very, very nice car that was given to him by his brother. One day, as he was getting into his car, there was a poor inner city child of about 12 years old standing there admiring his car. And he says, the young banker told the little boy, well, my brother gave this to me as a graduation gift. And the kid said, I wish. And immediately the banker thought he was going to say, I wish I had a car like that. But no, the child said, I wish I could be a brother like that. And the banker looked at the young child and said, well, do you want to go for a ride? And the little boy said, well, of course, sure I do. And so the boy asked if they could stop in front of an old building. And he ran upstairs, and thinking that the boy was going to fetch a friend who was going to come down and gawk at his car, he brought down instead his severely handicapped brother. Just look at this car. Isn't it fine? The young boy said. Someday I'm going to buy you a car like this. Now that's stewardship. Not how much money am I going to make and give to God, but how much of God's money do I keep for myself? Not me, mine, or I focused, but God and others focused. Yes, the compassionate use of our wealth. When we get to heaven, Jesus won't ask us how nice a car you drove, but did you use it to help other people? He won't ask the square footage of your home. He'll ask the number of people you sheltered in it. He won't ask your net worth. He'll ask how generous you were when helping others. Think for a minute. How many of the last Miss Americas can you name? I said none, but okay. How many, name the past 10 Super Bowl champions. Name for us, oh, I don't know, 25 of the 50 senators who serve us in Washington. Name the 5 best actor award winners for the Oscars. I couldn't do any of that. But I bet you can recall the names of those who have helped you when you were hospitalized for a week. Those teachers who went the extra mile to get you through school. The 6 persons in your small group that you've helped grow and have helped you grow during the past year. God, you see, has richly invested in you. Time, talent, money, it's all His. But you, He has given a sum, a portion. And now He has strategically placed your life where you can express His love by your kindness and Christ-centered ministry. So if all ownership is God and the faithful management is ours, then there's one thing that I would add to this sermon. And that is, according to the story, accountability will come. The text tells us that the businessman returned and he called in each of his employees to see what they had done with his venture capital. And the reward for work well done was more work. But the punishment for for lack of vision, for selfishness and laziness, was even what they had, even what they had was taken away. In every game, there is a buzzer, there is a finish line, there is something that signals the end. And then the winners and the losers are announced. We will have that same time of accountability in our lives. And we will cease all commerce. And we will stand before the Lord and we will give an account of our stewardship. We may not have all been equally endowed, just as the story tells us. But what he says is that what we do have, as Jeff told the children, we need to use for his glory. So remember that God gave it to us. It is ours to use. It is ours to make grow. It is ours to bring God's kingdom into the world. Let us use it the way God intended for us to use it. And help this place be a reflection of God's love in everything that we say and everything that we do and everything we put in that offering plate. This week, you have before you a pledge card. It's been in your bulletin every week for the past 3 weeks. And next Sunday, we're going to ask you to bring it. Put it in an envelope, seal it up, and lay it on the altar. It is important for us to do that. It is important for us to know as a church what we think we might be able to expect as we seek to do ministry next year. But it also is you saying to God that I trust you, God, that you're going to help me keep this promise that I am making to your church. And something may happen and you can't keep it, and we understand that. But it's important that every person pledge. Say, this is what I can give monetarily. And then think about, okay, now I've given monetarily, what can I give otherwise? How much time can I give? What are the talents that I can give to the work of the church? And then do that. I hope that you will come next week with your envelope. I won't know what you said in that envelope. And it may be a little amount. And it may be a large amount. But that's between you and God. God knows you. God knows what he's given to you. And he wants you to give it back. That portion that can go and make this place an amazing place of ministry. So, do that. Come back. Did you know that Jesus told around 48 parables? 5 of them deal with God's character. 8 of them deal with history. 4 encourage us to watch faithfully for Christ's coming. 3 bid us pray and not lose heart. 8 deal with obedience. And 9 deal with stewardship. Jesus talked an awful lot about possessions and the management of our material blessings. And I think he did so because he knew that money was his chief rival for the soul of a person. Remember the story of the rich young ruler who came and asked Jesus what he needed to do to get eternal life? And when Jesus told him, he ran away from it and said, nope, can't do that. Think about the prodigal son. He ran away from his father. He took his inheritance. He gave it away to live like a fool. And what was it that Judas received for betraying Jesus? Money. There is no divorce between business and God, between faith in Jesus and how we manage our money, between the Lord's day and our regular work week. So don't forget that it all belongs to God and that we need to be faithful in the way we manage it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.